If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40 this morning. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning from this thought. Three words: relax, relax, relax. That was the word for me and Kathy this week, and it came from three different sources. The first one was from Cynthia. She texted Kathy that word. I was right in the middle of a little project that wasn't going so well, and she texted, and even though she sent it to Kathy, I felt like it was for me, Cynthia, I really do. So you'll see why in a minute. The second was actually a wall hanging at Betsy's home. We were there visiting her, and there's a little sign on the wall there in their den, and it says, Lake House Rules, relax, relax, relax. And that's where, obviously, I got the title for the message today. So that was inspiration, Jerisa, at your home. And then the third one was from the devotional Jesus Calling. And all of those things, all of them were encouraging us, obviously, to relax. They came for me at just the right time during my week. I was stressing over several projects that I knew were going on here at the church this week. We were preparing for the painting of the building coming up in November, and I had to do some repairs to get ready for that. We had a well issue was the main thing that was going on. We had no water to the building at that time. We had taken a lightning strike at the well. The well tech thought the pump was out, and I'm thinking, okay, that's several thousand dollars, you know, and so I'm starting to kind of freak, you know, but all these words were coming to me, relax, relax, relax. And it turned out that the well dilemma turned out to be nothing more than a tripped breaker at the well. And that was the simplest thing, but none of us thought about checking that first. We were all just thinking, okay, man, we took this lightning hit, so surely the pump must be out because the well's not doing anything. And so, but the Lord just really was, you know, speaking to me, Basil, just relax, just chill. But the stress level for me was still fresh. You know how your body gets going and then it's hard to come down from, you know, the adrenaline rush or whatever that you're going through. So this morning we're going to talk about that. How do we relax? And a weird thing, an interesting thing, is that the word relax never appears in the King James Version nor the New International Version. You won't find the word relax in either of those versions. And so I went to a word that I think is very close, in my estimation, to the word relax, and that is rest. So we're going to talk about two words this morning, relax, but also rest. How can we do that? Because we all need to rest and relax. Chris Tigreen writes this. He says, a lot of people live for the weekend or the next vacation. You know, Kathy and I, as we get ready every morning, we always listen to the Z, 88.3. And so they're always pointing, I don't care if it's Monday, Tuesday, whatever day, they're always pointing towards Friday. And you talk to people out, you know, in businesses or whatever, and everybody can't wait until Friday, you know, because that's the weekend coming up. So you're waiting for the weekend, or you're waiting for the next vacation, or even some people are looking forward to the next good night's sleep, because they haven't been getting some maybe in a while. And why is this? Well, because we all need to recharge. We all need to recharge, refresh, relax, renew, restore. Because life has a way of beating us down, draining our energy, and sapping our strength. And so that's what the enemy wants to do. Kathy was exactly right when she said earlier that, of course, when this flood happens this morning in the men's room, it's going to happen on Sunday morning. It's not going to be on Friday after everything's over with. It's, you know, school people are gone, and the cleaning lady might be here and be able to catch something like that. It's not going to be on a Saturday even where we could get somebody in to fix it before Sunday. No, it happens Sunday morning. It's like the enemy just wants to come at you and you know, just try to upset you and get your mind somewhere else. You know, have you ever noticed that? If you're riding to church, If you're going to have an argument during the week with your spouse, it's going to be on the way to church a lot of times, just to aggravate you, just to get the juices flowing, you know? And so we need to recognize those things. It saps our energy and our strength. And the only way many people know to recharge is to withdraw from stressful situations and just try to relax. The Daily Walk adds this. I love this. How about this for a vacation schedule? Life in Israel was not all work, work, work. In addition to the weekly Sabbath days of rest, there were 19 days of national holidays. They had Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, Jubilee, Day of Atonement, booths, all of that. And that all equals 10 weeks of vacation a year. Not bad, huh? 10 weeks of vacation per year, counting all of those days. But the one that we all need to start with is to make sure that one day a week you try to unplug from whatever you're doing. I don't care if you're retired. In fact, if you're retired, you might be working harder than you did when you actually worked because you're filling your schedule up with stuff. And so, but you need a day to where you just unplug and you do your best to relax. Let's go back to Chris Tigreen. He adds this. He says, there's nothing wrong with relaxing. God designed us to rest, to refresh, to relax. But that isn't the only way for us to regain strength. In fact, he says, we have a supernatural power supply. It's in the depths of our spirit where the Holy Spirit dwells, where He lives in us. God offers us unlimited resources, or as other translations put it, riches from His glory. So even when we can't get away from our stresses, we can tap into an unlimited source of divine strength, and that's the Holy Spirit that lives within us. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul asks this question. He says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit today. Years ago, the Holy Spirit dwelt in the tabernacle, then it dwelt in the temple, and now it resides in every believer. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the third person of the Godhead lives inside of you. And that's that inner source, that divine source of strength that you can call out to and go to. I asked you to turn to Isaiah 40. Let's look there now. We're going to pick up at verse number 28, and we sang about this as well. It says in verse 28, do you not know, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? We sang this morning. He, our Father, will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths, young people, will grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God wants us to tap in to that source. And the source is Him. It's all about Him enabling us to relax and to find rest. And He's so faithful to do that for us. David expressed it a little bit differently in Psalm chapter 62. Turn there if you would. Psalm chapter 62. And David says here, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. That's some of my favorite portion of Scripture from the book of Psalms. It really is. And it's so important that we learn to do that. And a word that always jumps out at me is not just the rest, but it's also the trust factor. The reason we can rest is because we trust. And so if we put our faith, our hope, and our trust in Him, God will always, always come through for us. We may not understand some things, I always say this, and we may not like some things, but God will get us through whatever He allows to come into our lives. And then even Jesus and His disciples needed a break as well. Let's go to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. And it's just a brief portion of Scripture there, just a few verses. But it shows us that even the Lord and His disciples, He knew that we needed times to just get away. And it says this, verse 30 of Mark chapter 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus, and they reported to Him all that they had done and taught. You remember previous to this, He had sent them out by twos, sent them out in teams to minister, to heal the sick, to do all the things that He had shown them how to do. And so they reported to Him all that they had done, the things that they had taught, the things that He had taught them, they taught to others. So verse 31 says, then, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, He said to them, come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with Me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Sometimes we need to just carve out, in fact, we need to do it every day of our lives, carve out a place and a time where we get alone with God, a quiet place. A place that is a place of solitude, a place of peace and quiet for us. We just need to create that place. We watched a movie years ago about the African-American lady that had the prayer closet, and she taught that to others, and they developed prayer closets. You need to develop a prayer closet in your home where you go to and pray, and where your spouse or your kids or your grandkids, they know that if you're in there, you don't get disturbed unless it's an emergency. And they know you're meeting with God. You're reading the Word. You're in prayer. You're talking to the Lord. And that's just so important. And so the Lord saw that this was a real need in the lives of His disciples, because they were just going nonstop, you know, kind of like the way we live lives today. You know, we have our to-do lists, and we have our jobs to do, and we have places to go and meetings and whatever. But we just need to just back off once in a while, you know, and just kind of guard ourselves and find the balance. And here's why. Someone once wrote, we must come apart and rest a while, or we may just plain come apart. I like that. We need to come apart and rest a while, or we may just plain come apart. The Daily Walk, I really like this devotional, and they ask some questions here. What would need to happen for you to feel totally comfortable? What would need to happen for you to feel totally comfortable, maybe totally content, to be able to relax, whatever? What would need to change about your finances, your job security, your relationships with other people, your health, your appearance, or maybe your academic performance before you would be able to relax and feel totally at ease without a worry in the world? What would that take? I think for some of us, no matter what the Lord would do, we would still find something else to worry about. If He did all those things I just listed, we'd probably still, what about this? Well, what if this would happen? What if that would happen? And that's why this year I'm trying to eliminate three things from my mind and from my life. No fears, no worries, no what ifs. And it all boils down to trust. It all boils down to relaxing in the presence of the Lord, resting in Him. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. Just what we read from Psalm 62. So it's so important that we would do that. And I like this statement. The measure of your comfort will always be the measure of your confidence in God. The measure of your comfort will always be the measure of your confidence in God. So important that we put our faith, our hope, and our trust in the Lord. We can confidently rest in Him and relax in His presence. Now, here is Jesus' own prescription for us today, found in Matthew chapter 11. Turn there if you would. Matthew chapter 11, or you can follow on the screen, obviously. Matthew 11 is very familiar, verse number 28. Let's begin there. And Jesus says, "Come to me." Remember, he told his disciples what we just read a while ago. He says, "Come with me." I like the fact that Jesus is always with us. We don't have to walk this road of life alone. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? I give you rest. I'll help you to relax. I'll help you to just unplug." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, we've talked about this about, I think, sometime last year, about this rest for your soul. It's not just a rest for your body. It's not just a rest for your mind or your emotions, but it's a rest for your very soul, the very depth of who we are. He says, "You'll find rest in me for your very souls." Why? "For my yoke," he says, "is easy, and my burden is light." So many of us, we were raised maybe by performance happy parents, if you will, that if we perform for them, if we jump through hoops for them, then we're loved or we're accepted or they're proud of us if we do a certain thing or live a certain way or whatever. And of course, it's always their standards, you know? And so maybe you grew up in a home like that. I actually did. And so jumping through the hoops was important to get that from my mom in particular. But Jesus says, "Take my yoke." We need to take the yoke that we've put on ourselves. So many people will put a yoke on themselves thinking, "Well, I have to do X number of things in order for God to like me or for God to love me. Or I have to do X number of things in order for me to be able to go to heaven. We've got to impress God with our performance. Oh, God, I'm doing really good today. Are you noticing?" And we just can't get into that trap because God's standards are always, you know, up here. And only Jesus, he's the only one that ever walked this planet that was able to live up to those standards. He was the sinless one, the sinless Lamb of God that gave his life for the world. And so we need to understand that on our best day, we still fall short. And that's why Jesus bridges the gap in our lives. So we need to learn to rest in him. Take off the heavy yoke that you've put upon yourself or that maybe someone else has put on you and take the yoke of Jesus. He says, because if you do, he says, "I want you to learn from me because I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart and you're going to find rest for your souls. You're going to find something that is really satisfying." All of us are looking for satisfaction in life. All of us are looking for acceptance, love, forgiveness, cleansing, all that stuff. Jesus says, "You're going to find your rest in me. You're going to find all you're looking for in me because my yoke, the yoke that Jesus will place upon us, is easy and his burden is going to be light." So if you're struggling this morning, it's not what the Lord would want you to be doing. He wants you to have an easy yoke. He wants you to have a light burden, and he'll give that to you if you ask. Bryant Wright adds this. He says, "Jesus offers us rest amid the fast pace of life. Jesus doesn't always take us out of life's demanding situations. Instead, he invites us to allow him to help us handle the demands." Man, I love that. We need to tap into that invitation from the Lord to come to him. And he will help us handle those demands in the midst of them. He wants to face each day and each challenge with us. "Come with me to a quiet place. Come unto me," he says. And then this writer says that we need to realize that he wants to face each day and each challenge with us. He wants to be a part of our lives on a daily basis. So walking with Jesus daily and trusting him for guidance and wisdom to handle whatever comes in our lives. You know, just because we serve the Lord doesn't mean we're exempt from problems or needs. We know that. If you've lived for the Lord very long, you know that we still have trouble, we still have trials, we still have struggles, whatever. But in the midst of it, He's there. And remember what we said earlier, you've got that inner strength, the Holy Spirit Himself who resides within us, to tap into Him as well. Well, Paul also faced this issue of trying to find a place to relax and rest and unplug. So let's take a look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to pick up at verse number 4. And Paul is writing, obviously, to the church in Corinth. And he says this. He says, I have great confidence in you, the church that he established there, the people that came to know the Lord through his teaching there. He said, I've got great confidence in you, and I take great pride in you. And then I love this. He says, I am greatly encouraged. I am greatly encouraged. He's encouraged because of the changes that he sees in the lives of the church in Corinth. The first letter that he wrote to them, he wrote a letter of a scathing letter admonishing them to forsake sexual morality. There was all kinds of garbage within the church sexually that was going on that was improper. But now in this second letter, he's understanding that those things have been addressed, and he says, I'm greatly encouraged. I have confidence in you. I've got great pride in you, and I am greatly encouraged. So keep that word encouraged in your mind. And he finishes that verse with this, in all our troubles, underline that word in all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. So in the midst of whatever you and I are going through or will go through, or maybe what you've been through in the past that you're still holding on to, he says, in all of that, in all of that junk, in all of that struggle, in all those troubles, he says, my joy, my strength knows no bounds. Because God's joy is our strength. He says, my joy knows no bounds. Verse 5, for when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours, this natural human body, had no rest, no rest. But we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within us. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us, how? By the coming of Titus. He was encouraged not only by the believers in Corinth that he had led to the Lord, who straightened out their lives, but now he's encouraged by the coming of Titus. And he says, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you, the church there, had given him, had given to Titus. He told us, Titus told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, and your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. He says, in the midst of all my trouble, my joy knows no bounds. But now that Titus has come with this testimony of how well you're doing and of your great love and concern for me, he says, now my joy is even greater than ever. My strength is even, I'm feeling so much better at the coming of Titus, and after hearing what he said about you guys and how you feel about me, he said, I'm just comforted and I'm full of joy. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, God tells the children of Israel that rebelled against him that they would never enter his rest. Now, this is not saying that no Jews are going to ever enter his rest. Some people will try to twist that scripture, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying the generation of Israelis that left Egypt, that first older generation, the one that died in the desert, remember? They rebelled against God, and he said, well, the price is going to be 40 years of desert wandering because you rebelled against me. And that generation died in the desert, and they were not allowed to enter into the rest that God had for them in the promised land. They never entered the promised land. Their children and their grandchildren did, but that original generation that left Egypt, they did not enter the rest of God. They never entered the promised land. And so with that in mind, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, and let's begin at verse number 12. And I believe Paul is writing this, obviously, the book of Hebrews. Others would not agree with that, but I think some would. But anyway, he writes, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. See, they couldn't enter in because of their unbelief. The Bible's very clear about that. The children of Israel back then, that original generation, they couldn't enter in because of their unbelief. And now this is a warning to us. Paul says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has this sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage, there's that word again, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, sin, if you continue in sin, it will harden your heart. And so he says, I don't want you to become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at first. Now, I believe this is a real key verse. He says, we have come to share in Christ. So they know Jesus as their Savior. Paul, and because he says we there, and he's talking about the other believers that he's led to the Lord in all these different places. And he says, we have come to share in Christ if, there's a key word there, if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at the beginning. So he's insinuating there that if you don't hold on, then you can lose what you had, you know? So it's not once saved, always saved, you know? It's not where you can live any way you want to and still expect to go to heaven. That's not. That's a false doctrine. That's a false doctrine. Paul says, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly until the end this confidence in God, in Christ, that we had at the beginning. So it's a key point there that we need to make. And then he goes on. Fortunately for us, in Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us about a promise of entering this rest. And that promise, he says, still stands. Let's read about it. Hebrews chapter 4, probably the same page or one over from where you are. Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 9. And he writes here, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. God set an example for us way back in the beginning of the book of Genesis when for 6 days God worked and everything was created. He spoke everything into existence. God spoke and the Spirit of God made it come to pass. It came into being. Everything that he spoke, boom, there it was. And so he says there is this rest that still remains for us because he says anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, our work, just like God did from his. God says, I want you to have a day of rest. We talked about it earlier. It's part of the 10 weeks of vacation that the Israelis enjoyed every year of their lives. And so he says, I want you to enter this rest, God's rest. Verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, God's rest, so that no one will fall, wow, by following their example of disobedience. So again, there's this insinuation of falling away from our first love. We read about it in Revelation, where that was one of the accusations against one of the churches of Asia Minor, is that he says, you've left your first love. You've left me. You've left your first love. Now you need to get back. You need to get yourself back in gear, get back into a place of relationship. And so he says here, we need to make every effort to enter this rest of God so that no one will fall away by following their example of disobedience. So stuff can be, our relationship with God can be impacted by sin. Now, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Word says that. That's why we come to Jesus initially. But we need to keep that experience up to date. You can't just live any way you want to and still expect to go to heaven. It's just not going to happen. He says, don't follow their example of living a lifestyle of disobedience. And because the Bible says to us, those of us that are doing our best to serve him, he says, if a man does sin, if we do mess up, we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus Christ the righteous. But we can't live a lifestyle of sin and still expect to go to heaven. We're going to mess up from time to time. We're going to sin. We're going to fail. Something we say, something we do, something we think, some attitude, whatever. We're going to mess up. And as soon as the Holy Spirit convicts us, we immediately ask God for forgiveness. We do that. And we're still good. But if you try to live a lifestyle of sin, remember Jesus told the woman that was caught in adultery, he says, go and sin no more. He told another person in Scripture, he says, you go, sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you if you continue in this lifestyle of sin. So we need to break. It's not only confessing our sin, but it's forsaking our sin. Amen? And so we have to work on that. And we're not going to ever be perfect until we get to heaven. And it's not dependent upon our performance, but it's the performance of Jesus. That's who we're putting our trust in for our salvation. It's not how good am I. That's not so cool. But it's how good is Jesus, and that's really good. That's really good. Amen? That's why he came, to bridge the gap. He is the bridge builder. He's the bridge builder. He's the priest. He's the pontiff. He's the one that takes our place. And so we need to remember these things. Well, now, as we get ready to close here, let's bring it down to kind of where we live this morning. Daily Devotions for Men ask this question. Are you troubled or anxious this morning? What are you stressing about? What is it that maybe has kept you up recently? What is it that you're worried about? Is there a fear? Is there a worry? What's all the what-ifs rolling through your mind as you pillow your head at night that may keep you awake, or you wake up in the middle of the night and your mind just starts racing? What if? What if this? What if that? What if? What if? What if? Are you troubled or are you anxious? If you are, take your anxieties to God in prayer. Are you weak or worried? Delve deeply into God's holy word and sense his presence in the quiet moments of the day. Don't ever be afraid to go to the Lord at any time, day or night. Go to his word. Know what that word says. Do your best to live it. Another question, are you spiritually exhausted? Call upon fellow believers to support you. The reason we have church, the reason that we're in community as a body of believers, we're part of the family of God. We're part of the family of God. And we're to be there for one another. He says we need to help one another. We need to be there for one another. If we share one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. It's important that we're willing to do that. So call upon fellow believers to support you. Call upon the Lord to renew your spirit and your life. Refresh, renew, revive, rekindle. Those are great words to pray over yourself and over your loved ones, that God would do that in all of our lives. Your Savior will never let you down. To the contrary, he will always lift you up. Amen? He'll always lift you up. And then Chris Tigreen closes with this. He writes, when you're feeling exhausted, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in any other way, he says, look with eyes of faith to the Spirit that dwells within you. We go back to that, the Holy Spirit who lives within us, the third person of the Trinity that lives within us. Look with eyes of faith to the Holy Spirit within you. You'll have to consciously decide to do that. You got to make up your mind to do it. It's not going to happen automatically. You got to choose to do that. And so then he continues. He says, look to him as you decide to do that, and you'll need to ask for his strength to sustain you. God doesn't expect us to make it in these last days in our own strength. He is with us. He's in us. He's for us. And if we just will look to him, he will sustain us in whatever situation that you find yourself in. Wherever God sends you, he sustains you. I love that. Wherever he sends you, he'll sustain you. But you will find him more than willing to show his strength in your weakness. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen? And so in your weakness comes forth his strength. He lives within you, the Holy Spirit does, to show himself in your time of need. What do you need this morning? Where do you find yourself this morning? What's been stressing you out and worrying you and pressuring you that you can't relax. Well, this morning, I want us to remember, we go to the Lord, we cast our burdens upon Him, and the Word says He will sustain you. So relax, relax, relax.